RadioSaintBeat.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studios inside Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Now, let's go live to Big C for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we are broadcasting today from the new Big C office located in downtown St. Petersburg. I want to take this time to thank our new sponsors, Big C and Advanced Recruiting Academy, for their support. And to all those working at our sponsors, thank you, too, for all of your help. And for those of you tuning in to Job Talk for the first time, you will learn that it is my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and every possible industry, so that anyone who's considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them better. Plus, it's been a lot of fun for me to meet and talk with some very interesting people, and I've made a lot of new friends in the process. So before I introduce my guests, I want to mention that if you want to view the website while listening to the program, you can visit www.sabaltrust.com, sabletrust.com. You can also follow us live as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on our live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @ARAcademy. I'm very happy to welcome my guests today, Jennifer Garbowitz and Brian Jones of Sable Trust Company. Welcome, both of you, to Job Talk.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I appreciate it, too. So before we talk about the Sable Trust Company, I'd like to let everyone know about your backgrounds up until you took your current position. So tell us about yourself, and let's begin with Jennifer. Where are you from?
Well, I grew up in a town in central Illinois called Decatur, very agriculturally oriented, home of Archer Daniels Midland Company, Firestone. So a lot of blue collar, a lot of factory, great place to grow up. Mm-hmm. And in high school, I won a competition and received an academic scholarship to Eckerd College. And I had never been to St. Petersburg, but I thought, Central Illinois, St. Petersburg, Florida, where do I want to be when I go to college? So St. Pete won out, and I came down in 1990, and you know, the city and the beach won me over. So
I bet it was a lot different back then.
It was. It's grown a lot. You know, when I was at Eckerd, I spent a lot of time out toward the beaches and didn't really come downtown a lot, but over the years I kind of gravitated over this way and have had the pleasure of seeing it grow and you know, participate in that every day. Our office is right downtown. So,
and what'd you study at Eckerd?
Well, I started out interested in marine biology, like probably 90% of the people who start out there, and I soon realized that that wasn't really my passion. And I ended up with a degree in management. I worked in the healthcare field for about 10 years. I worked on the clinical care side and also on the business side. And when I was in my early 30s, decided, hey, I want to go back and get my master's in business administration. And as I was going through that process, I found out that I really, really liked investments and finance and accounting, and those were my favorite classes. So It sort of transitioned into a building my skills on the business side for healthcare into, hey, I want to go into the investment world. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really sure what that looked like. So I kind of used my network and talked to people like Ward Curtis, who is the CEO of Sable. I knew him way back when. I got involved in the local Chartered Financial Analysts Society and met Scott Pieper, who leads our Tampa office at Sable. And so through talking with those folks, I realized, you know, I really do want to be in the finance world. And I've had a lot of questions over the years. How in the world did you go from clinical care and healthcare into finance and investments? And the transition isn't as strange as it might seem, because what are two of the most important things in your life? Your health and your wealth, mm-hmm. right? I guess you could say the third is your legacy and what you leave behind. And so if you're a people person like I am, it translated really well, because, you know, with both health and finances, you know, there's a lot of planning that's involved, I think, on both sides, if you're smart about it. And there can be a lot of stress involved, too, in certain situations. And so if you're equipped with dealing with those sorts of things, the translation was really an easy one. And the transition ended up being a very good one for me.
And what kind of roles did you have in healthcare that provide you the training? You know, and because getting into a company like Sable Trust, you have to have specific skills in most cases.
You do. And I think that when you're, you know, especially on the business side, you know, when you're leading people or running any type of business, people are sort of the same wherever you go. You know, the mechanics of it may be a little bit different. But the same skills, you know, translate from one industry to another. And I think we see people making career transitions all the time and who do it successfully.
Great. And Bryant, so let's talk about you. Where are you from? And tell us about your career up until the time that you joined Sable Trust.
Yeah, sure. I grew up in Montgomery, Alabama, a little bit bigger than Decatur, Illinois, but still a good bit smaller than the Tampa Bay area. Enjoyed that, lived there throughout my childhood, had a great childhood there. Went to school at the University of Alabama, did that for 4 years, and I tell this story all the time. I've never forgotten this. I can remember sometime about halfway through my junior year saying to somebody, pronouncing with 100% certainty, there are two things I'm never going to do in my life. I'm never going to work for a bank, and I'm never going to live in Atlanta. 18 months later, I was doing both, and it was a good lesson that life sometimes has you don't have as much control over it as you might think you do. Mm-hmm. But and both were great. I've lived in Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta for the last 17 years, working with a company in Atlanta called Reliance Trust Company. Mm-hmm. Sable Trust was a client of mine. So Jen mentioned a gentleman named Ward Curtis. Ward Curtis, I've known since the late 90s. I've known Jen for about that same amount of time. And we sold the company, and I knew Ward and Jen, and we had some conversations. And in November, I joined the team. And moved down from Atlanta to St. Petersburg.
Wonderful. And so what kind of role did you have at that other company?
Sure. I did a couple of different things. I grew up in a business where we worked with wealth management firms, much like Sable, across the country, from Portland, Maine to Honolulu, Hawaii. And we did all of the behind-the-scenes work that allowed them to get in. That allowed them to participate in the business. So whether it was technology, whether it was back office, whether it was investment product and so forth, we could package all of that to assist those firms. And different firms use different products. So I ran that business for us for a number of years. I also took on our chief administrative officer role, which was I oversaw all of our corporate activity. I oversaw our investment management function as well, mm-hmm. which was much more institutionally driven than what we do now. So it was a really nice transition for mm-hmm. me because I knew the business, I knew the company, and it worked well.
Well, that's great. And so then you moved down here when?
November. Okay. November. So you're just in time for winter. It was great. It was great. I hear it's like that year round.
I wish. Oh, wow. Well. I know. You've had the last couple of weeks like that, but I don't know.
No,
I think
it's
going to turn soon.
Yeah, it's hot everywhere. Yeah. But what a great time of year to move down here, and it's been spectacular.
So you were telling me about the differences when people visit you come here versus Atlanta and other places, different parts of the year.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I've had a lot of folks that have wanted to come down and see what I'm up to and, you know, come check out St. Petersburg, and particularly in those January, February months when it was particularly cold. But, you know, it's interesting. You get people down here and they realize there's a whole lot more than just warm weather that's here.
Absolutely. Well, great. All right. So my guests today is Jennifer Garbowitz and Bryant Jones of Sable Trust. So let's talk about Sable Trust Company and tell us about the history of the company, and starting with the name. How did you get the name Sable Trust?
Sure. So Sable's been around since 03. Actually, the group that really put this together has worked together for many years before that through a couple of different predecessor companies. So Sable was just a natural extension of that. But the name came about pretty simply. We saw ourselves as a firm that really was built into our communities, that was a big part of the community. That's a big part of who we are today. And Sable Palm being the state tree of Florida, our markets are in Florida, are in the west coast of Florida, and we felt like that was a really, it fit nicely with that connection to the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned that too. I didn't even know that was a state tree. That's great.
We do have one.
Yes, how about that? Okay, and so how many offices do you have?
We have four offices.
And where are they?
We're headquartered here in St. Petersburg, but we also have an office across the bay in Tampa. We have an office in Sarasota, and then we have an office in the Villages.
That's an interesting location.
It is. It is a fascinating community. It's a great market for us, but it is a fascinating community.
Okay. And so, you know, before we talk about some of the other things, I want to talk about that office that you're in, because it's really a beautiful office, and you designed it on purpose not to have any barriers between desks and stuff and no offices. Tell us how that's worked out.
We did. We the really deeply seated in our company culture is a spirit of teamwork, and we kind of felt like, you know, if we're going to work as a team, we really need to be able to communicate easily. And so we have this open environment. When you walk into our front lobby, which is very inviting, we have some conference rooms in the front so that we can have private meetings with our clients. And then when you walk toward the back, we're all out in the open. Each team is sort of sitting together in what we call pods. But even Bryant's out there in the open. We don't have any offices.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's great. How do you like that, Bryant?
It's funny you ask that. I get asked, what have you been surprised most by since you've come down here? And that was it. I had a large office back in Atlanta at the old place, and I thought, getting into a workstation, that'll be an adjustment. Mm-hmm. What I found is I love it. You are much more engaged. You're much more involved in what's going on. If you say as an organization we're going to have a team approach, and we're going to approach things as a collective. You have to trust each other, and everybody has to know what's going on at all times. In my old place, which was a great spot, you had to build things like, you know, reports and emails and, you know, recurring processes to make sure everybody was in the loop. We certainly have those, but it's very different when you're sitting right across from the person that's having those conversations, and you're participating and you're jumping in, and it really, Dean, it invites collaboration. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm having a problem, or if I'm struggling with something, trying to solve a problem, and Jen overhears that conversation, in our culture, she doesn't hesitate to jump in and say, hey, have you thought about it from this perspective? In ways that it really breaks down a lot of walls in that regard.
And if you're on the phone a lot, that's the only issue I've always had, is just that in those environments that it seems to be loud sometimes. Have you had any issues with that?
It doesn't normally. We usually keep things sort of under control. But when things are getting sort of hectic, we can always go into a conference room and use an open conference room if we need to make a quiet call or a private call. But you know, that really doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. And we all just kind of learn how to adapt and work it out.
It does take about a month or so to get that phone voice right, you know, to get comfortable.
It does because, you know, exactly. Especially in St. Pete, you have, you know, you have 20 other people who can hear exactly what you're saying if it's quiet. So
That's right.
That's funny. So let's talk about what a typical day and week looks for both of you. Jennifer, you want to tell me about how's your day typically look?
Sure. I spend a lot of time talking with clients, of course. You know, once we do have clients on our books, we really focus on continued communication. You know, I'm on the investment committee at Sable, so I'm also involved in doing research, and I spend a lot of time keeping up on current events. I mean, as you know, news flow is very prolific, and so so it would be pretty embarrassing if a client called because some big thing happened in the news and I hadn't seen it or hadn't read about it. So I spend a lot of my morning, filtering through relevant news, in addition to also talking with centers of influence and being involved in the community. That's a big part of what we do every day. We don't have attorneys on staff or CPAs on staff, but we really prefer to serve our clients on a team with their other advisors and their other experts. And so we do spend a lot of our day talking to those types of folks.
And what is your title there, Jennifer?
Principal.
And an account manager type of person as well? I mean, what is it, you know?
Well, we have a pretty flat structure. We have principals. Some of the principals are on the management team and an executive team, and then we have relationship managers, and those are the folks who really, really do a lot of the hard work and, you know, boots on the ground type of thing. We also have an investment committee, as I mentioned, in the firm, and every team has a member of the investment committee on it. So as an investment committee member, I'm not only responsible for doing research and contributing to that committee in driving investment policy and processes and things, but I also implement what we develop on the committee level into our client portfolios.
Wow, that's great. And Bryant, I'll ask you some of the same questions, and you know, let's start out by letting everyone know about your role at Sable Trust.
Sure. I'm the president of the company.
And, why was the position open? I never understood. I never asked you, I don't think. You know, was it growth or retirement?
Yeah, so one of the things that's really unique about Sable is from the time it was put together and really as it began to add staff, the leadership team had a focus on multi-generational diversity. And so there was a thought that so it was an organization that started looking at succession very early in its time frame, in its life. And so there was a succession a need that we saw coming down the pike, and the timing happened to work on my side with the sale of the previous company, and we knew each other, and so that was how I joined the organization as in that role.
Well, that's great. And what kind of challenges have you had so far?
You know, it's really interesting, and one thing that makes Sable very unique is it's an employee-owned company. everybody in our organization has an ownership position in this company. And it is an important part of who we are. It's an important part of culturally what we've become. So as a leader that comes into the organization, you expect to have certain, you expect to run into certain issues. You expect to
employee issues.
Absolutely. And honestly, I can tell you, we had none.
Great.
None. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I can remember going to Ward. We mention him all the time. Going to Ward and saying, Ward, it surprises me that we're not having it. And he said, you see this is the employee ownership model, because the idea is if I can take an approach where I'm helping our team achieve their own financial goals through growing the company, if I can play a part in that, we all succeed. Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, I haven't had the challenges that that you would expect to have. I knew half the company coming in, which helped. Mm-hmm. So it's, aside from the normal learning, learning who everybody is and that sort of thing. But I would think that that's really more of a transition than.
Right.
Than
so what's a typical day and week look like for you?
Wow.
As a president, if there is a typical.
Yeah. Part of the fun of it is there really isn't. The one constant that I would say in this role is people. Everything I do is really about, if you break it down, is about how are you best serving people. And so whether it's being involved with our clients, whether it's being involved with our team, helping to help them work through any challenges that they may have, and just the nature of that, Dean, means that not only every day, but probably every couple of hours of every day is different. I've spent a lot of time trying to get to know not just the people that are directly associated with Sable Trust and our stakeholders, but really our community, getting out and about, getting to meet people within the community, getting to get a good feel for it.
It's a good community.
It's a great community.
Yeah.
It's a great community.
Well, you're going to get to meet lots of good people in your time. You've only been here a short period of time. It's a lot of nice people on your horizon there. So anyway, let's talk about the services you provide at Sable Trust. And let's start with the investment management portion of what you do there. Jennifer, tell us about the portfolio construction process.
Well, one of the most important things, when we have a new client come in, it's an ongoing process too. But, the main thing is first talking about what the client's goals are. And a lot of people sort of think they know, but when you ask them the question, they have a really hard time articulating it. And, that's kind of the first challenge and something that we take very seriously, because everything kind of goes from there. We talk about things like, what's your risk tolerance? If your portfolio went down 20%, would it change your lifestyle? Would it change the way that you view things? Questions like that. Mm-hmm. Are you retired? When do you want to retire? Because time horizon is a very important part of portfolio construction. When you're 85 years old and you have, your portfolio, if something bad happens in the markets, let's say, you don't have the time to make that up. And so that's really going to have an effect on what we do. Do you need a certain level of cash? That's another big one, liquidity needs. And what type of income are you bringing in? What kind of income do you expect this portfolio to produce? So all of those things go into building the portfolio and figuring out what the right asset allocation is.
What is style discipline?
Style discipline, there, of course, the investment markets are very complex. Mm-hmm. And there are certain investment styles, whether it be growth or value. A company that would be considered a growth company would be, let's say, like an internet company. A company that is a value-oriented company or a core type of a company would be a Johnson & Johnson, a General Electric, a real bellwether, a 3M, who, right. by the way, I think just announced another dividend increase, the 99th year of consecutive dividend increases. So,
right. Nice.
Yeah, that's longevity for you.
Okay. And you also work with tax efficiency for them, too. Even though you're not CPAs or accountants?
We do. As I mentioned before, we work really closely with our clients, other advisors, as a part of their team. And one of the things that we do when we're building the portfolio and through ongoing management is we really take into consideration what their tax situation is. We certainly don't want to have any unintended consequences when we're doing these activities and trading in the accounts. And we, because we can be so flexible, we can do whatever is best for the client without, having to jump through a lot of hoops in order to do that.
Dean, I want to go back to something Jen said about style discipline. The unforgivable sin in business is to say you're going to do something and not deliver on it. The same absolutely holds true in investment management, and even more so. And in our business, that manifests itself where someone says, we're going to protect your assets. After the long conversation, we say, we're going to invest in a manner that's really focused on capital preservation, and then you don't deliver on it. So from our standpoint, style discipline is absolutely core to what we do. We literally talk about it every day, and that is with our equity portfolios, we have a strong discipline that's focused on capital preservation and so forth, and maintaining that discipline is really the first and foremost thing that as an investment manager we do, wouldn't you say?
Yes, for sure. And it's really, sometimes we have to pull our clients back into that and say, this is what you told me your goals were. And they can get really distracted by a lot of the news and a lot of reports and a lot of things that really don't have a direct correlation with what they really want their money and their funds to do for them over the longer term. And so it's our job as their manager with our disciplined style to say, yes, that's true, but this is how what we're doing now fits into your long-term goals and plans.
And, I'd like to talk about that dividend growth portfolio and how your equity philosophy, strategy, and selection criteria and selling criteria. Would you like to tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. We really like to focus on companies who derive their revenues in a very disciplined, again, the word discipline, and stable way. We look at management teams on those, within those companies. We look at the boards. What have they done? Have they been successful in executing those types of things? We look for the possibility of dividend growth. We look for cash flow, which is a very important aspect of a company that pays and grows a dividend. Mm-hmm. On the sell side, when we add a company to our portfolio, we set some targets and keep an eye on those targets, both on the upside and on the downside as well, because you can have a company that's doing really great, but fundamentally it hasn't changed, and so we might say, hey, now is the time to take our profits and look for other opportunities out there. Mm-hmm. Now the reverse of that, of course, is if something happens out in the markets that causes us concern, and so we might deliver our our verdict to eliminate that particular company from the portfolio at that time.
So that's your selling criteria?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we really focus on prudent growth. You know, we want companies that are smart about it. We want to see high quality earnings. We don't want to see earnings that are coming through as a result of funny write-offs or accounting schemes. Quality really has to flow all the way through from the top line down to the bottom line, because that's how those companies are going to be able to grow their dividend in the long term.
And we talk about dividend growth a lot. We feel like that is a long-term history of growing a dividend across market cycles. We feel like is the best really indication of a strong management team, mm-hmm. strong organization. And so from our standpoint, it really conversation begins with that. So it's an important part of what we do. As an investor, the other added benefit to that is you're generating cash flow. You're generating yield. And so when you have those moments where the market is not as friendly as it might otherwise be, if you have companies that have consistently maintained their dividend through those time periods, you have an investor base who may be living off that yield that doesn't have near the impact to their quality of life that you might have if you have a portfolio that was less focused on that dividend. So it's an important part of who we are,
sure,
and our philosophy.
And I'm speaking with Jennifer Garbowitz and Bryant Jones of the Sable Trust Company. Let's talk about fixed income and your fixed income philosophies, et cetera. Do you take a similar approach to the fixed income?
We do. We do on the fixed income side. We really focus on quality as well, whether it's with municipal bond issues or with corporate bond issues. We feel like, you know, for our clients, we're taking the majority of the risk on the equity side, and the purpose of the fixed income side of the portfolio is really mitigation of volatility. You know, that's really kind of the cushion and the buffer. You know, for fluctuations in portfolio value. So high quality is very important to that as well.
One of the other services you provide is estate settlement. And as you become what, their personal representative? Is that how that works?
Yeah, we do a lot of that work. And really, it fits with what we feel like our deliverable is to our customers, and that is we protect assets, we protect legacy, and we protect their wishes as it relates to their family. And that translates across not just the investment philosophies that Jen's been describing, but also how we handle our estate settlement, how we handle the trust and fiduciary work that we do. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No.
Now we build I hearken back because it all fits together, but mm-hmm. we have multi-generation teams. So the idea is that we build relationships with our clients over many, many years with individuals that as they get closer to a time where they may have a need for that, whether it's a corporate fiduciary or you know, as they look into the future and see a need to act upon their estate, we have folks that we can commit. We'll be here, and we have an organization that'll be here that understands not only what's on the document, but also understands the wishes of the individuals who set it up, because we've built a relationship with them over many years. So it's an important part of what we do. A lot of technical expertise. There's a lot of work that goes into estate settlement. It's complex. Many of them can be very complex. There are a lot of different pieces that really you have to have a whole lot of experience to be able to execute well. And we've been fortunate to build a team of folks that have that experience.
That's great. And also, for your trust services, though, you have how does that work? You become what are the aspects? How many parts of the trust can you help with? And what areas do you become as a trust?
Yeah, sure. So it starts with all of our client interactions. It starts with a conversation. We feel like we have an important role to play in that as a trustee. We can serve as a corporate fiduciary. Mm-hmm. serving as a trustee of a trust can be a difficult and actually there can be some risk involved with that. Mm-hmm. It can be complicated. And so as a professional fiduciary, our firm can add a lot of value in that. So it starts with that. What makes us a little bit different with that is that we'll work with their attorneys, we'll work with their CPAs as part of a team that really puts together a trust solution for them, and then we'll help administer that that trust mm-hmm. through the life of it into its maturity and or transition and beyond. In doing so as a trustee and managing the assets, we can again build that long relationship with the individuals. It's if you've seen a trust document, some of them can be very simple, some of them can be very complex, and having that relationship again over the years, participating in that process with the client, really is important and really can add a lot of value.
And adding on to that, Bryant mentioned the intense technical aspect of a trust or settling an estate, but there's also a bit of an art to it. You know, there are beneficiaries involved and families involved, and you're dealing with people and people who don't always get along. And so, we're very fortunate to have a lot of people who have a lot of experience in that area and who have really mastered that art over time.
You know, it's in our business, at the end of the day, it is all people. And some people say that we don't have physical plant. We don't have, we've got some technology, but at the end of the day, the value of our company is in the people that work for it. Mm-hmm. And in the relationships we have with the clients that have entrusted us, with their most important possessions. And so, at the end of the day, it begins and ends with people and relationships, and that transcends everything we do.
Well, it sounds like a great company to work for, that's for sure, or to invest with and have on your side. So, we really only have a few more minutes. It's gone by very fast. I can't believe it. But let's talk about jobs. This is called Job Talk. And so do you have any current openings?
We do. We do. We're always looking for good talent. Really, entry into our organization comes in one of three ways. We look for a couple of different technical disciplines. So that would be either on the investment management, portfolio management side. We're big fans of the CFA charter, which is really the signature investment management charter. Jen's a CFA. We look for, if you don't have that, we look for folks with a strong trust and trust administration background as well. Or we look for folks who, as Jen mentioned, may have been earlier, may have had a little bit of experience, but are looking to join at closer to an entry level part to our organization and build up that experience. We actually invest a whole lot of money in helping develop our own talent within the organization.
That's great. And you also got a new designation, didn't you, just recently, Jennifer?
I did. It's an investment performance measurement, a certificate of an investment performance measurement. And really, we talk about people and how important they are, and we really spend a lot of time developing people internally, including ourselves. And so it was really more of a personal thing for me. And I think anytime you add a skill or bolster the skills that you already have, that trickles down into everything you do, down all the way down to the client level.
Mm-hmm. And so if somebody was to work there, you would also help them make money too, from the investments, right?
Yeah.
Being an owner.
Absolutely. The employee ownership, it is such an important part of what we do. And it's an opportunity.
And it is everyone too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even the person in the front desk.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the organization. And it's an important introduction into investments for people that are joining us very early on in their career. Mm-hmm. But also, it's an opportunity for everybody to participate in the success of the company. And it's amazing how it lines up with the long-term view with your client.
Well, that's great. And that brings us to the interview tip of the week. This week, it's brought to you by Fit Room Express. So if you're an employer wanting to create a healthy environment for your employees, have a fit room installed in your office today. Contact Pete today at fitroomexpress.com. So if somebody wants to apply for a position at Sable Trust Company, what one piece of advice would you give them? Jennifer, let's start with you.
Well, first of all, I think they need to indicate that they've at least read the website. if they're interviewing and they don't sort of have a really good idea of what we do, there's not enough interest there. And in addition to that, I want them to ask me a lot of questions, because it's really kind of like a marriage, right? When you join a firm, if you're in it for the long term, which is what we're looking for, and if that person doesn't have any questions for me, that raises a lot of red flags.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Brent?
You know what I would say, and some of this fits with what Jen said, is if you've done your homework, and this is a place you want to be authentic. At the end of the day, be yourself. If you want this role and you're smart enough and motivated enough to feel like, you know, hey, I'd be a good fit for this role, be yourself, because we'll see it too. We'll absolutely see it too. We look for people when we interview who give us an answer that makes us comfortable with them, because at some point we're going to ask a client to feel comfortable with them, hopefully, and that authenticity has gotta come through in every situation, and it starts with the interview.
Well, that's great advice. And so at this point, too, I like to give a guest a chance to give a shout-out to anybody that you may want to. Jennifer, do you have anybody you want to give a shout-out to?
Sure. All of our partners at Sable and our clients, I really am thankful that I'm really happy to go to work every day, and I look forward to it. My son, Justin, and my daughter, Callie, they make me laugh every day. And make me a better person. And my husband, RJ, probably the most persistent and ambitious entrepreneur on the face of the earth.
All right. Very good. And Brian, how about you?
Yeah, same. Shout out to all of our great colleagues back at Sable across our offices. And additionally, on a personal note, to Will and Kate, who are two great kids that hopefully are listening right now.
Well, great. And, you know, at the end of our interview here, I really like to get my guest's opinion on the area. And for those people considering new locations for their family or their business, and in your case, Brian, you know, you are one of those people who made a choice, actually, to live here, as well as you, Jennifer, you know, a long time ago, but more recently, Brian. And so, you know, what would you say to the leaders of a company considering a new home for their business or somebody that wants to relocate their family? Would you recommend this area to anybody throughout the country?
100%. 100%. Yeah. And I would say it from two perspectives. One, my previous job, I was on the road 3 days a week. I went anywhere and everywhere in this country, big city, small. And I will tell you, there's no place across those. And I say that without exaggeration. There's no place I'd rather live in and build a life in than St. Petersburg. There are a lot of great places out there, but St. Pete in particular was just top of the list.
What did you like the most?
You know, this is a city. There are three things. One, of all the places I've lived, this is the most welcoming community. You know, we talk about we're getting involved in the community and as a new person, that's not always easy to do. And St. Pete has welcomed me with open arms, and it's fantastic. It's a city that I like to use the expression punches way above its weight as it relates to cultural, restaurant activities, things like that. I mean, the opportunities in that regard in this city are just unbelievable. They're great, you know. The weather's great. You can't beat the weather, of course. But, you know,
we'll
it's what draws
in a couple of months.
Exactly.
Right. Talk to us in September, Brian.
Yeah. But, you know, there is so much to do. There's such a diversity of things to do. There's a diversity of people here, a diversity of interests. It is a really, really special place.
What do you think about the talent?
Talent pool strong. It not only is it strong in the Tampa Bay area, but one of the things about being an employer down here, Dean, is it is not hard to recruit outside the area.
Boston in the winter is a great place to get people from.
Yeah, post all your jobs in January, folks.
You get a little bit more, but in all seriousness, the marketplace recognizes it, and so from an employer standpoint, it's great.
Okay, and Jennifer, what's your opinion of this area too, having lived here now for over 20 years?
Well, you know, the great thing about it now is we really have all of the amenities of a big city, but we haven't lost that small town feel. And I think that's what Bryant felt when he came and said, you know, everyone's been so welcoming, and you know, it's really, and the weather. I mean, you've got the best of all worlds, I think, here.
We even have parades down Central. I mean, it's really, you know, that small town feel, you're saying. You know, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, great. That's really about it. I really want to thank you both for being here today. We took a lot longer than I thought it would even take, but I'm so happy to have you here. And so, I hope you'll come back again and keep us informed of news and available jobs as you grow, et cetera.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. So you've been listening to my guests today, Jennifer Garbowitz and Bryant Jones of the Sable Trust Company. It's a great firm, so if you're looking for the services that they described here today, be sure to check out the website at sabletrust.com. And now it's time for the Job Talk Alumni Update. So be sure to check out the St. Petersburg Jazz Explosion on the Saturday, May 14th from 1 to 9 p.m. at Straub Park, a full day of incredible sounds from some of the hottest jazz musicians around, including James Suggs, Derek Carter, Bryn's Jazz Ensemble, Dundu Dole Urban African Ballet, City Groove, 54th South Lakewood Jazz Ensemble, and many more. Vendors with crafts, foods, and beverages will be there, and tickets start at $15, and VP seating is available. So check out the Facebook page of St. Petersburg Jazz Explosion 2016 for more information. And if you want to check out some of the some of the great and vibrant art scene that's really here in St. Petersburg, check out the Second Saturday Art Walk this Saturday. Have you done that yet, Bryan?
Is that with the murals?
Everything.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yes. Yeah.
And so that's going to, you'll be able to meet the artists and gallery owners during the casual festive evening as over 40 studios and galleries in the five art districts come together as one arts destination. So you can download the map and list of participants to plan the evening at www.stpeteartalliance.com. And now it's time for our shout-outs, and the shout-outs go to Ava and John. Welcome to Florida. And to Jill and Ellen, I look forward to meeting you soon. And to my guest next week, Christy Hughes of Southern Tidal Liens. And I hope you all take the time to check out the site and explore all the music and shows that are featured. If you can't listen live, check out the archive section where you can listen at your convenience. And there is something for everyone, and new shows are in production too. So you can listen to past Job Talk shows, and you'll find some really interesting and fun podcasts there too. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to the program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests on Job Talk. You can send those to me at DeanLogan@RadioSt.Pete.com. I want to take this time to give special thanks to Joe Bordeaux, Zoe, Kat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and you're looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live today from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. That's BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Listen again next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg.